Well, welcome to the show. I, again, am very excited about BHM 365, Real Relationship Show with Dr. T, the people psychologist. That's where you are tuned in today, and we are excited that you are here with us. It's been some exciting episodes, I tell you, and Dr. T has really been lit. on these different topics. You know, it is amazing that we're taking the time and we are saying that relationships are important, because that's what we're really saying here with this show, is that unless we take care of our relationships, we really cannot function effectively in life. So before we get started into the show and bring Dr. T on in, the people psychologist, I have a great quote here that's going to lead into our topic today, which is going to be on don't give in to the flight to your fight. So here it is, a quote by Edgar Tolle. It says, where there is anger, there is always pain underneath. Where there is anger, there is always pain underneath. Good to have you today, Dr. T. So happy to have you. How are you?
Thank you, Sister Jo. I am so glad to be here with you today on this bright, shiny day talking about lit.
Yes.
We're going to talk about going from lit to live it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people who graduated from lit. They in the graduate school of live it.
Yes, yes. That's
yeah,
so
we're
important.
Talk about how we can deal with that.
All right. Well, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and let you go on right into this great topic, I think, and let you just go ahead and start, sir.
Thank you, Sister Jo. I want to preface this particular podcast from a word I heard from a real smart gentleman this week. He said, in all of his years in working at higher education, he said, I have never seen such anger and intense mental illness among our young people. This comes from a guy that's got a prominent position, you know, in higher education, Sister Jo.
Mm.
And he said in all his years, he's never seen as many people running around ready to tip at the single, most single point. Anything could just set them off, like landmines, in a sense.
Mm.
And so he challenged me because like 2 days before that, I felt like God had woke me up and he gave me this thought around anger. And he said, don't give your flight to your fight. And so there I was wrestling, trying to get some sleep. And my mind drifted back to a time where, you know, I used to be a basketball player. I don't know how good I was, Joe, but I thought I was, right? And that's the only thing that matters when you're on that court. And so anyway, I was on the basketball court and, you know, on the court, sometimes you run into all this basketball is about positioning, right? And pushing and shoving and getting in the right position and boxing out, going to the board and being aggressive. And in the midst of that, sometimes, you know, our feelings can surface. And so I remember this one guy, he was while playing basketball, he was a large man. And we were pushing and shoving and trying to get position up under the basket. And be honest with you, he was saying a few choice words to me that I can't say because I'm a Christian now. But, you know, he was pushing me and I wasn't going to be chump. I pushed him back. So I knew he was a lot bigger than I was, but you ain't going on that court. Doesn't matter. You know, you're going to stand your ground. And so because of my pride and because of what society had taught me, and I always heard I got this middle brother named Calvin, and Calvin's always been the fighter in the family. I heard him say, don't you back down. Don't you be punking out. You better stand up. And so carelessness took the win, and all of a sudden, I just kind of swung at this guy. Oh, that's the last swing I can ever remember when they took me up off of the floor because that guy dusted me all up and down that floor. And I knew that he was much bigger than I was. So I don't know, you know, why I decided that I was going to yield myself to my anger of being pushed. Because of my pride, I didn't want to be shown up. And so I gave flight to my fight, meaning that when I was faced with a potential opportunity and a particular conflict, I gave into it instead of overcoming it. And I believe that we've got in the same avenue of what this young man told me earlier about our where our anger, where our youth are today. We got a lot of people that can feel me on that. Mm-hmm. What I've learned, Sister Joe, and I want you to comment, we have some comments to this. What I've learned is that a person is not a coward when they back down from a fight. When you allow the fight to overcome you, you've already lost, regardless of whether or not you come out victorious or not. And that can walk away is truly the person that is in control. So most external conflicts really come down to the internal one, the battle with our inner emotions. It goes back to what you said, the battle with our ability to deal with pain on the inside. What would you think about that?
Yeah, I really, you know, and that's true in that quote in the beginning, because I think a lot of anger, and we talked about this in the last show as well, a lot of anger is because we just haven't dealt with things we've been hurt from in the past. And so it builds up, like, you know, it builds up and it carries over into our personal and adult life. And so all those things that we didn't take care of, you know, or addressed tends to build up. And that to me is where anger comes from. So that last draw or that last time I'm going to deal with you is really a lot of anger that's been built up over the years. I truly, truly believe that. That's kind of my thought on lashing out and taking flight, you know, to your fight, is that the fight itself is the anger that I haven't dealt with. And so therefore, I'm going to embrace that and I'm going to cause it to take me on a road or on a path that I shouldn't be going down. And that's going to be harmful for me in the future.
Mr. Joe, you're so right. That is a great point. And as you were talking, my mind took me back to, everybody knows about the Wizard of Oz, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Dorothy and Toto and the Great Wizard, right? The great and powerful Oz. Think about that. It goes back to what you were saying. The great powerful Oz, he was so intimidating. He was loud, but he was also easily angered. And it took a little poodle named Toto to go behind the curtain of Oz's pain. The real person that was behind pushing those buttons. You can see the fire right now in the face on that movie, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can see the visual. I am the almighty Oz. And when you went right behind the curtain, it was little Pee-wee. A little guy that for some reason his lost balloon got him somewhere in a land called Oz, way far away from his town. We got a lot of people who outside, they are experiencing, they have a persona of control, but behind them, under them, underneath them is boiling this great big volcano.
Mm-hmm.
They're on edge. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to deal with it. And the little small totos that will involve themselves in our life will reveal the true nature of our motivation of our fight to flight. The pain, the trauma that can lead us to pack and hold that stuff back until the littlest, smallest, intricate thing will make us blow up. It's almost like landmines, the attack from Russia on Ukraine right now. What causes that? To most people, Ukraine is a peaceful nation. What causes Russia to go off like that? And what causes us in our common everyday life? What causes a man that's on a basketball court to be able to go up against something that he knows that he shouldn't, he ain't gonna win, but there's something inside of him that he fears to deal with, or there's something inside him that's bigger than the outside thing that he's facing, to be able to at least take a chance. In a moment of time, we all can understand this. And so how do we deal with stuff like that? That's what we're trying to talk about today. And I believe in our audience, they're looking for answers. The pandemic also, Sister Joe, has caused some of that.
Yeah,
I think we're dealing with a culture that has been living in pandemic silos. The thing by pandemic silos is it's forced us to deal with things that are true to our own biases, true to our own ways that we feel. We have been desocialized to be able to pull ourselves in and take things to come at us. And we've been working on our own grids. I call it pandemic silos. It's kind of group thoughts. And it's created environments for us to only take in things that we want to take in. surround ourselves behind thoughts or beliefs that what we believe and think and have not been challenged by other ways that people think. So we've been dealing with anger in those silos.
Absolutely. And I think in the whole pandemic, it's caused us to really face ourselves. And a lot of times when we begin to face ourselves and during this time, this type of time, we become angry with the things that we haven't done or we haven't taken care of. So therefore, that causes us to be even more angry or even, you know, so it's a crazy place to be right now, because it's a place to see how I really am and how much I haven't taken care of. And in many cases, that can backfire and cause us to be even more angry. And it causes people to lash out. Because there's some crazy things that have happened during the pandemic. People have killed one another over silly things. People have become angry and cut others off over silly things during this time, during this cultural time. Would you say so with that?
Hence lies the rub, Sister Jo. You're right on it. I think that the inability to get out of yourself when you're faced with so many other things is going on all at the same time, hence lies the rub. That's frustration. People are frustrated because they can't get outside themselves. And they're staying within their own pain and the way that they see their pain, or they're staying within their own perception of what's happening to them. And they ain't even thinking about the other person. It's all about me expressing myself, me getting out. And the only way that they can express it is they express all that stuff in themselves. I think the pandemic has hurt us so bad. I mean, I see people here in Nashville, Tennessee, they're trying to get to the first open spot. They get anxious by being in a car, in packed in a log jam, in a car jam where they can't get out. And they're so frustrated because they feel like they're closed in and packed in. It breeds an anxiousness so much that they'll cut in front of you. They'll jump out of their car and run straight down the street and stand on the block just so they can know that they're free. It's not funny.
But it's true.
It's true. People are dealing with this whole, like you said, this whole idea of me.
Yes.
And what I'm feeling. And they can't deal with this onslaught of all this other stuff going on at the same time. And then it causes them to pop off like a hot water pop-off valve, because they haven't had means of which to express that. Mm-hmm. That gives us the struggle.
And it is definitely a struggle, and we have to deal with that struggle. If we don't deal with that struggle, it's just going to make it worse. You know, and a lot of times people are acting, and I think you mentioned this before the show, people are acting out of anger because it's a form of protection of what they're really sensitive to, you know, or what they don't want people to know.
Well, that's so true. And in a moment of time, we think in those times, we don't know that there are practical steps in which we can deal with that. One would be, first, I want to say, stop, period. What I'm trying to say is, when you are overwhelmed with anger, stop letting it over control you. You might say, Dr. T, that's easy for you to stay. No, choose to stop. Notice I said choose. You don't take the time to pause to think that you do have an option of choosing whether or not to respond with anger, or whether or not to step back and reflect and take a breather and stop. Just period, stop. The next step I would say is that you have to think about the other person. Usually when somebody's attacking you, they feel attacked. So I always talk about, you know, we talked about that fence, right? And when you see a fence, when you see something that people will draw up on you, you got to understand that that's not an attack mode. That's a defense mode. So understand that a person is not attacking you with their fence. They're protecting them from the fence that they see in you. It's a form of protection. When you see people defensive, they're trying to protect. It's a vulnerable position. It's not an offensive position. They feel like they need to put up something to protect them. So just don't go over there. Stay in your own yard.
Exactly.
You see a fence,
stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. If you see, but most of all, I want you to understand, look at that fence in another way. Don't look at that fence as something that's coming at you. When somebody's defensive, that they're coming at you. No, they're trying to protect themselves. So, see, you got a chance to just back off, man. Stop, number one. Second, just reconsider. You know, think about the other person, that someone initiating a fight. They're trying to protect themselves. Think about that. Take into account the other person's humanity before you choose to harm them. That defense is just like me. I mean, when I ran into that guy I told you about on the basketball court, if I would have took time to think that maybe that guy was just feeling defensive because I was pushing him back. I was pushing him. I was. And so he was just trying to protect himself. Two people can't fight each other. You just can't. And I know this is hard. I know we've been, the last year and a half, we've all been in our little climates of comfortability and the way that we think, putting people around how we think, and having to deal with a lot of things at the same time on our own. It seems overwhelming. I understand that. And some of you guys have been fighting things that are very traumatic. And you haven't been taught how to deal with this kind of stuff. You've been taught to explode when things happen to you. But I just want to teach you another way. It's almost like reminds me of King Jehoshaphat when he went down in the Valley of Decision and God told him that I'm going to take you into a battle. Number one, remember that. God may take you into a battle. You may have to face battles in your life, opportunities to battle, opportunities to war. But when God tells you that you don't have to fight, that's a choice. Fighting is a choice. And I used to think that backing away from a fight was punking out. But no, we're talking about don't be controlled. You know, here's what I want to tell you. If you really want to be in control, control the fight. Control the fight to flight. Get in control of that. Don't let it control you. You control it. Backing away makes you in control. Don't let the anger control you. You control it. And you may have to take that step back that I'm talking about to realize that you're in control and that you do have a choice in your responses to it. And that response is that you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Not today. You won't do it. Maybe yesterday you did. But today you're going to choose a better way. And understand that in God is saying, Jehoshaphat, you don't have to fight. I mean, think about that. You don't have to fight. Sometimes, have you ever been in a situation, Joanne, or a listening audience, where you've been in a situation and you go there and God has already taken the battle away from you? Mm. He has already, Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. You know, put something back, hold something back and let God take care of it for you, especially if he's fighting your battles for you. You don't have to fight.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I want to say.
Yeah, I think that's very important to understand. That when you hold back or when you stop and think about it, and you become the better person when you're not the one that's actually being angry and acting out, as they would say. You become the better person when you're holding back and seeing where this is going to take you and allow God to take control of it. Because, you know, in my experience, God does take control of it. He literally does. And vengeance literally is his if you allow him to act in that way. Because a lot of times we want to get ahead of God. When it comes to that, we want to get back at that person, or we're going to find a way to get back at them or pay them back or have some type of revenge so you can be the bigger person. But the bigger person is the person who is the most quietest. And Proverbs talking about having a quiet spirit and allowing, you know, the anger of the other individual to lash out, but you step back and have a righteous mind and a righteous heart about it.
I can explain it better than that. That person is in tune and in sync with their soul and their spirit. That's what I'm talking about, that control. And now I want to talk about just a simple part of the, some of our fight is connected to motivation. Like I want to talk to those people who are high energy people who are type A personalities. Your motivation is wrong because your motivations come from a fight place. You know, it's like, I want to win. I want to talk to those people who don't want to lose. Those people that think, well, winning is good. If you're in a position where you're trying to be, you're going to type A personality and winning is good. But if your winning is tied to a fight and an anger of not being able to lose, that's not a healthy place to be. eventually it's going to cause heart trouble. It's going to cause high blood pressure. It's going to cause you to make the wrong decisions. See, we ain't talking about just that person, that anger. We are identifying anger. Anger has an identity in so many different places and spaces. It could be pain. It could be motivation to win. It could be downtrodden because you're losing and being angry because of that. That fight, the Bible says, anger rests and rests in the bosom of fools. So whatever you got lying down inside of you that comes out in you in an unhealthy way is not a good place. So some of you guys chimed in today and you thought that, oh, we're going to deal with all those Mike Tyson people. No, we're dealing with those people that's got that high motivation. You want to win and you don't want to lose. That motivation, that thing that's prompting you in responding in the wrong ways, in the angry kind of way. You can respond angry and look like Pee Wee Herman in your face. You know what I mean? So we got to deal with how we deal, with people and how we're responding to people and how we're responding for myself. See, I had to get in touch with that. God tested me this week with, why are you fighting? Why are you responding? And why does it seem to keep you on edge? See, let me tell you, when you know that your fight is from a dysfunctional place is when you feel unedgy about it. You ain't quite let it settle. You don't quite understand it. It's causing you to overcome it in a sense to where it's bothering you. Say, for instance, you may be responding in a real healthy way. It may be a good way to respond to overcome it. But if you don't understand it, I'm saying get understanding. The Bible says in all you're getting, gain understanding. And that have that wisdom in why you're responding to certain things that tends to keep you on edge, whatever it may be. Understand it. It could be the way you're looking at people, the way you're judging people, the way you're perceiving your circumstances. It could be at the root of that you don't understand it, that's causing you to react or respond in ways that are very harmful or very dysfunctional, not necessarily on the external way on somebody else, but inside your own self. That we got to do that hard work. Dr. Cornel West said it takes courage to deal with yourself on the inside. Mm. All of us need to get behind that Oz, behind that curtain. We need, if you ain't got it in yourself to pull back the curtain, go get you a spiritual toto on outside of you to pull back of what's going on behind all them buttons you pushing and all that motivation you got and all that responses that you're doing. Understand those things. Because if you're in tune with that, you can be strong. I want to say this. God convicted me when I was walking on a track one time. And he says, let me tell you why humanity is so powerful. There's nothing more stronger than seeing a person that's in tune with yourself, like Sister Joanne said just a while ago. To be in tune with yourself and to have a good, healthy self-awareness is a powerful place to be. We're not going to be there 24/7, but we need to gain some control or some identity or some understanding of ourselves that will help us in situations that are various and that we don't understand.
Absolutely. And I think what you're saying here in a summation to that is so powerful, because what I hear is that we have to peel back what our actions really are, because we have to get into why are we reacting this way? What is the cause of this? Because in order for us to get to that place of being in tune and aware of who you are, you got to peel back how you're responding to things. And in particularly in this case, to anger. How are we peeling that back? Why did I respond that way? What's bringing me, what's making me feel this way? So am I right about that? That you're just talking about peeling back those pieces of whatever that's in you and getting to the root of the real realization of who I really am.
The key is you. The key to any of your responses or to any of your internalizing is you. Mm. I mean, I'm not purporting that you're in control of yourself. No. What I'm saying is I'm talking about being self-aware, so that if you're self-aware, you could become aware of your everything around you in a sense. And we don't live there 24/7. We ain't on 24/7 about ourselves, because we're learning about ourselves a lot of times with things when we don't understand. In times of anger, just take a pause and understand truly what's going on. Because you can't run around angry all the time, because you keep looking at the world in an angry way. you'll start believing things in your anger that ain't got nothing to do with the things that you're seeing or things that you're feeling. It's not a good place. Mm-hmm. And you'll start bleeding out on people that didn't even cut you.
That's so true. That's so true. Start lashing out. I love this great quote, and it's kind of what you're talking about. And I love quotes by Buddha. Sometimes he makes sense at times. Yeah. It says, to be angry is to let others' mistakes punish yourself.
Wow. Can you say that again?
Yes. To be angry is to let others' mistakes punish yourself. So here's the key. If you're not aware of that, and we can't do what you're talking about here. We cannot walk in awareness if we're not aware that we are also allowing others' mistakes determine what we become and who we are.
Yeah.
And causes us to flight, you know, to the fight.
We give control. I think when I heard that, we give control more when we're not aware of ourselves. We give more control to the things on the outside of us. That's why we don't have any internal power, because we have given that over, and the things outside of us, power is going to take precedence, either if you have it on the inside or the outside. But if you're a Christian inside and you are walking in the Spirit, that which lives inside of you will predominate anything, mm-hmm. if you're feeding it every day. But if you're not strong on the inside and relying on the Holy Spirit and that which lives inside of you, everything on the outside is going to keep you shaky-baky. Everything. So that's what he's saying is that, right, it's that external. We give more credence to the external stuff on the outside of us if we're not strong on the inside. And as a Christian, I know that when Paul said it this way, when I am weighed meek, then I'm made strong. He talks about when the outer man is destroyed, the inner man is renewed day by day. The outer man perishes, what he said, the inner man is renewed day by day. That's powerful right there. Maybe perishing externally, but inside, God is renewing through me with the power of the Holy Spirit, on that internal power and that internal strength I rely on, that when I take my self-healthy self-analysis, and then the Holy Spirit in I, which lives in me in Christ Jesus, works within me and within me, that work that's only the inside, it's an inside job that manifests itself in external circumstances and situations. And when that happens, if it goes that way, see, if I sit there and battle that guy, I battled him, right? I wasn't coming from a good inside place and space. And so the resulting emphasis was, it was unnecessary for me. If I had just been a little stronger and been a little more prepared for that with knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and with the Holy Spirit living inside of me as a Christian, I could have responded better. Some of you out there may not be Christians. And there may be some principles that me and Sister Joanna shared with you today in your circumstances. Some of you may be so overwhelmed with things that are happening to you externally that you got to understand something today, that you need to stop, that you need to yield to the power that is living within inside you. You need to understand that the defenses, that is a protective position of the things that you're facing, that person is not so much oppositional, that person feels unprotected. And they feel the same way you do. So in order for you to deal with that fence, you got to lower your own. That's a choice in that. And then you got to take into account the humanity, that really that God is with you and you can respond better because you've already got the strength in you to do it.
I love it. Wow. That's a good summation for towards the end of the show at the top of the hour. You know, I so appreciate you. I feel like each week there is something, you know, that's right on time here. So this message today of don't give in to the flight, to your fight, is amazing because we're doing it every day. So and unless we do those things that you just said, those great tips, I think unless we do that, we will not move forward. And so here's what we're saying on Real Relationships, taking care of these things so that we can become better people and better people of God. And so we can become better to other people. And when we all begin to live in harmony, everything around us, our spaces become better and we get along. So this has been great. I'm so excited, Dr. T, for the message today. We appreciate you being here. You've been listening to Dr. T, and we will see you next time on Real Relationships.